Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in. Here we are on another beautiful Saturday. Seminoles play tonight. We've got Calvin Davis in the studio, a remarkable young man with a program called Every Heart Has a Story. You're going to learn about that. And then in the second hour, Tim Center will be with us, the executive director for the Capital Area Community Action Agency. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with the beautiful custom shower enclosure from Widen Glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Widen Glass today, 222-5781, or chat online with one of their service professionals at widenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Widen, the best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Going green just got easier with high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty, owner of Truck and Car Concepts. We have over 18 years' experience. Our sun control films eliminate 79% of the heat gains and 99.9% of the UV rays to prevent fading.
Use less energy and save money with professionally installed high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
So here we are, friends. Thank you for staying with me in this part of our show. We're glad you've tuned in because we're learning a lot more about the community area, capital area, sorry, Tim, Capital Area Community Action Agency. Don't do this to me. I can't handle it. I can't even figure out what the acronym says, but it's Capital Area Community Action Agency, Inc. Ridiculous. It looks like an impossible Scrabble solution or word or whatever. But Tim Center, thankfully, is a bit more lucid than I am and certainly more articulate. And so he will be with us in the second hour to talk about this agency and its work in targeting those problematic conditions that keep people locked into impoverished or underemployed or unemployed situations, doing a marvelous work there and really in fulfillment of what was initiated back in the 60s, the Great Society and the War on Poverty under the Johnson administration. And that mission continues, but it's taken on some different details and some aspects that particularly Tim was able to initiate, institute upon his arrival here a couple of years ago as the executive director. We're going to learn more about that and get his take on some of the conditions in our own community and around the country, especially those things that have to do with how we perceive poverty or how we classify those who we think of as underemployed or unemployable. Because, of course, it ties into some of our thinking, I think oftentimes stereotypic thinking, that runs along ethnic or racial lines and or perhaps age or gender. So what we will find, I think, with Tim's insight in this is there's a lot of that misconception going on that he is working with his crew to try to have a positive impact and try to change, at least for all of us here in the Tallahassee and surrounding areas. And the counties that he serves are remarkable. The number of people that this one agency reaches out to is astounding on a fairly modest budget by all comparisons. So we'll learn about that. He'll be with us in the second hour. Calvin Davis will be here shortly. Calvin is a young man who had a very interesting idea some years ago, having lost his mother to pancreatic cancer and then a very close friend of his killed in an auto accident in which he was involved as well, and came away from all of that loss and recognized that his heart had just sort of darkened. And so he refers to that as a kind of black heart that occurred because of his grief and his loss and discouragement and the depression and all of that that he had to labor under as a young man. Well, he did, and he persevered, and he pressed forward and found that in doing so, he had a story to tell, what he would call a heart story, and then begin to realize, well, probably everybody has a heart story that they can tell, and created this organization that then goes about the business of bringing all of us together on the web in telling our own stories, our heart stories. What a remarkable thing. And in telling those stories, we begin to find solace and encouragement and a kind of a cathartic experience that brings healing. And there he dubbed it the liveblackheart.com. And his idea there is a sort of pronouncement, Live Black Heart. So you have to read it the right way or say it the right way. But he'll tell us all about the organization and what they're doing, even regionally and nationally, to gather all of these heart stories. And then he's tied it in with a really neat aspect, which is to benefit charities that are connected to these various heart stories, whether it's the American Cancer Society or maybe a relief organization of some kind or aimed at poverty or whatever that heart story is telling us, there might be then some particular group or organization that needs our help. And so he's got an event coming up. He'll tell us about it that's going to be hosted over there at Florida State University here in just a couple of weeks, I guess. We'll learn more about that from Calvin Davis. Meanwhile, in the news this week, our beloved Jameis Winston, not to disappoint any of us in our questioning, what is up, has ended up back in the news and, as most of us know by now, has been suspended from the first half of the game tonight. Florida State playing Clemson in their home opener. Wow. Even some of my dear Facebook friends that are otherwise rather modest in their remarks and sort of, proper, they were coming unhinged. They were just off the chain with their decry of this young man. And Annette and I, my wife and I, remarked that, it reminds me of the days when our dear friend Bobby Bowden would say, it's a dadgum football game. We got to put this in perspective. You're dealing with young people here. And my question is there no, of course, yes, it's disheartening and it's embarrassing and all of those things. Right. Well, come on, I'm the father of four people who are now all grown-ups. I've embarrassed them enough, I think, to even the scales. But, yeah, that's what people do. The kids embarrass us, and they say things that they shouldn't. They do things they shouldn't. And I don't care what your position is in life. You have to ask the question of yourself, when is it that you decided you were the judge and jury in that situation? When is it that you decided that you are infallible and are thereby able to throw that first stone? I don't know. Take a moment. Think about that for a minute. Perhaps a little grace, a little forgiveness is appropriate. And I'm not naive here. I get it. There are billions of dollars here at stake. This is not a game anymore. It's a business. And we can talk about that too, as to whether that's unfortunate for a lot of reasons. But the facts are, there's a lot of money tied to this whole enterprise. And so when a guy like this steps up there, he's on the national stage, world stage, a lot riding on his success and the team's success. So there you go. So, yeah. Is he held to a higher standard? Well, yeah. But at the same time, you gotta keep in mind, who are we dealing with here? You know, if everybody who is that worried about the outcome of the game would be as worried or concerned for the outcome of this young man, maybe we'd have a little bit different take on that thing. Okay, so I'm not going to burden you any further there with my diatribe, but that's, I think, worth noting. Elsewhere in the news, Bill Cotterill had a great article. If you haven't caught this, check it out. He's talking about FSU and their presidential search. He had a very, I thought, rather insightful and somewhat amusing article, and basically saying you got two very powerful forces at work here between Thrasher and the folks over there at Florida State University. Very helpful article. Folks, we're going to stay on track here with you, and we will be back right after this.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Witten Glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Witten Glass today, 222-5781, or chat online with one of their service professionals at wittenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Witten. The best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Business Spotlight with our guest this morning, Cara Palmer. She is the program manager for Startup Quest. Startup Quest helps mentor aspiring entrepreneurs and inspire them to build the next generation of technology companies in the capital region, meaning Tallahassee. All of this being provided under the work and the management and the vision of Career Source Capital Region. Welcome to you, Cara. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for taking the time. It's been our interest in wanting to showcase what it is that this program is doing and how you're involved with it. Tell us about Startup Quest.
Yeah, so Startup Quest is actually a part of a statewide initiative. We are one of eight areas in the state of Florida that has the Startup Quest program. And what Startup Quest, it is an entrepreneurship training program. What it does, it takes individuals in our community who have a college degree but are either unemployed or underemployed at the moment, and it teaches them how to start a business, how to manage a business, and this is all done through a team effort with seasoned and other entrepreneurs in our community who are CEOs of their own companies.
And that's the mentoring part of this, right?
Correct.
So I'm a young fella or gal who has a great idea, or maybe an old fella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not as young as I used to be, so but maybe I've got a neat idea that I've always wanted to try.
Mm-hmm.
And do I come to you and say, here's my idea? Is that how this works?
Well, the way that it works is that if you are interested in Startup Quest, we are holding a information session on September 4th.
Oh.
Yes. So you come to the information session, you RSVP, you come to the information session. We share all the information about Startup Quest.
Yes.
You have to go through a process to where you actually put in an application.
Ah.
Not everyone that is qualified will actually be chosen for the program.
Okay.
It is limited. And so, but you do have to attend that information session.
Kind of an orientation, I guess.
Exactly.
Okay.
So once you do that and you are selected for the program, if you are selected, you're then placed on a team with about seven others. And then there's one mentor per team.
Oh.
And so the other part of this is that we use technologies that are being commercialized at our state universities and federal laboratories.
Okay.
So FSU and FAMU have technologies that are featured in this program. And so the technology serves as the entree for the development of this business plan. It's a simulated process, but it gives them the tools and the fundamentals that they need to start a business.
Okay, so and this here flyer that I'm looking at says that it's a 10-week training course.
It is. It is a 10-week training course. It is very intensive. It's a laboratory setting, but when they are finished with that, they have key takeaways. They have put together a business plan. They have learned what it really takes to run a business, and they are a more valuable employee should they choose to go work for someone, or if they choose to create their own job, they have, again, those fundamentals and principles of how to do that.
Okay. And you are housed where?
We're located several places. Career Source Capital Region has four locations and a satellite location throughout our region. And we actually cover Leon, Gaston, and Wakulla counties.
Well, this is cool.
And we have offices in all those areas. And we also have a satellite office that's located at the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce.
Okay. So, and are you an independent program? Or are you part of some larger organization?
So we are the Regional Workforce Board.
I see.
There are 24 regions in the state of Florida.
Right. Mandated by
federal government.
Yeah.
And it is also our funds come through Department of Economic Opportunity.
Right.
Career Source Florida is our policy arm.
Okay.
And so each of the regions, which there are 24 and we're region 5, they are their own organizations, but they have certain policies that they have to follow.
A lot of us know Kim Moore, right?
Correct.
And Kim was part of that initially.
Yeah. So Kim was.
She's now with the group at TCC.
Correct. So we went through a rebranding.
Y'all are like
Yeah, we went through a rebranding earlier this year. We used to be Workforce Plus, and now we're Career Source. And we do have a new executive director. His name is Jim McShane. And so we are business focused, business driven. We've changed our core values a bit, and we're really trying to work more with the business community.
I see. So there's that kind of interfacing going on. You reach out to business owners, encourage them to participate as mentors and
correct. So we have and just so you know, Brian, this may be of interest to you and the listeners. We ran this program in the spring, and so we had 81 graduates and 13 mentors that were a part of that program. And so yes, we have folks that are CEOs in their own right, entrepreneurs in their own right that are a part of Startup Quest.
I noticed too that you are focused on those who already have their degree. So
correct.
These are college graduates who then become entrepreneurs and this program educates them in that process.
Correct. Right? So it is for folks that have at least an associate's degree all the way up to a PhD.
Okay.
And so we are recruiting actively for those folks that have a college degree. And even if you have an idea, even if you haven't thought about starting your business, this is just a great education. It's a great training for just anyone in our community.
Okay. So, and again, you've got this sort of orientation session coming up September what?
September 4th, which is a Thursday.
4th. And where will that be?
It's going to be at the FSU Turnbull Center. However, we'd like them to RSVP with our office before they attend.
Okay, folks, here, I hope you're listening now. Here we go. September 4th, you need to contact Cara or one of her other staff members, right? And what's the best way for them to do that? Email or a phone?
They can email or they can call. The number to call is 850-617-4656.
I'm seeing that right here. So it's a local number, 617-4656. Or you can email startupquest@careersourcecapitalregion.com. One more time, startupquest@careersourcecapitalregion.com. CareerSourceCapitalRegion.com, or just go to their website, check it out, CareerSourceCapitalRegion.StartupQuest.org. Kara Palmer, what a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is what we love to do. The Business Spotlight today brought to you by our good friend Heather over there at The Green Room, where if you want to look as good as I do, that's where you get your hair cut. The Green Room on Lake Ella. We'll be right back.
Go with the pros at SS Performance Group. Today's engines demand the highest precision from highly skilled technicians able to get the most from your car and keep it in top performance. That's SS Performance Group, foreign and domestic. SS Performance Group is legendary among car owners who demand more.
I'm Ernest Sims. I know about going pro. For your car's best performance, go with the pros at SS Performance Group.
In their new location, 431 Capitol Circle Southwest, call 575-0259. Online at ssperformancegroupllc.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Calvin Dennis is our guest in this portion of the show. Glad you've joined us. And we have Calvin Dennis with us talking about something called Every Heart Has a Story, a company that he started some years ago. We're going to find out how and why he did that. And then something else as part of that whole enterprise called Live Black Heart. So there you go. Calvin Dennis, our guest. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good today.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This company started because your mother died of cancer.
Yes.
Is that a fair statement?
Yes, sir. Just to give you a little information about my personal story, I did lose my mother in 2007 to pancreatic cancer. It was a 6-month battle, and we lost her at the end of it. So from that and the next year, me losing my friend in a car accident that we both were involved in, I created the Live Black Heart, Every Heart Has a Story movement.
Okay, so that movement then has as its mission what? What's the mission of this organization?
The entire mission of our organization is to inspire others through stories. So everybody, every heart has a story, and every story has the ability to inspire others. So what we look to do is get inspiration through our stories, through the stories we receive and through the stories we obtain. Mm.
The whole idea of this then is really focused back down at a grassroots level, right? And you've been around the country, it sounds like. And I've got, folks, I've got in my hands here, if I can do this without dropping them all, looks like a couple of hundred of these hearts that are cut out of construction paper, various colors. And each one of these hearts will have a person's name on it. Tell us about these hearts. What are these?
Okay, so what we created was we did create the heart cards, and what these heart cards symbolize, they're actually support cards for different causes. So as you see, the purple heart cards, those were written to people that have dealt with pancreatic cancer, and they show support. So they also, they not only bring awareness, but they bring support to the different causes. So what we do is we actually go to different organizations, different schools, different groups of people, and get them to fill out these heart cards. And then once we're done with these heart cards, we deliver them to the support areas, such as hospitals, nursing homes, different places where people, you know, need support, and these cards can help.
And that support comes in what form?
We fundraise with our heart cards. Each heart card is a dollar, and we donate that dollar to that particular cause. So that's why we have the different colors.
Okay, so this is multifold here in its interests. This company, again called Every Heart Has a Story, inspiring us, reminding us to stay focused on supporting those organizations and those causes that need our help, right?
Yes, sir.
And you, at the same time, are involved in that work, in helping to raise funds for any and all of those organizations that you are representing in this fashion, huh?
Yes, sir.
Is that fair? Okay. Okay, you got to bear with me because I'm not very bright, and so it takes me a while to kind of work through this. Now, then you have something called liveblackheart.com.
Okay.
What is that?
Liveblackheart.com is where people can actually go to register one for our Color Walk event, and it's actually where you can go and share your stories and also submit information as far as to potential new places that we can provide support to. LiveBlackHeart.com is actually where you can go and view all the information we're showing you, such as our Every Heart Has a Story tour, which we just came off of. And that is where we went from Tallahassee to New York City. And all the way up, we partnered with organizations that most of the universities and institutions and did the Heart Card Project.
Okay. So if that's the case, then if I have a story to tell, right?
Yes, sir.
You're saying that everybody has a story to tell. I go to liveblackheart.com,
yes,
and I can share my story.
Submit your story.
And what happens then?
Once you submit your story, we actually go through it, process it, we contact you, and then we set up an interview. And the person that would actually be interviewing is actually with us here today, and that's Ursula.
So, okay, so what's your story is the question, and when you go to liveblackheart.com, you can tell your story, but you can also follow the stories of other folks, right?
Sure can. See the stories we've acquired over on the road. You can see the stories from locally here in Tallahassee. Some of the stories that you'll see online are from a lot of, I don't know, prominent people, I guess, in the local community, such as Ms. Kraft. I don't know if you're familiar with her story, with her boating accident last year. So we do have stories like that. Like I said, Jessica Morrison, you know, she's fighting cystic fibrosis. We're raising $14,000 for her. So
yeah, a lot of folks apparently know Jessica Rossman Morrison, cystic fibrosis, since she was, what, 7 years old?
Oh, yes, five, and she's been battling it. She's a wonderful
Not
girl.
Giving up. And then Rita Brown, who was on the show here a couple of months ago, who has the Brown Preparatory School, she too, yes, is one of those folks that inspires you. Why?
Yes. On a number of reasons. Because, one, I went to the Florida High here locally in Tallahassee, and I went to school with her kids, Amir and Tony. And also because she's always been, you know, helpful. And when that situation happened, it touches home with me just because I know her personally.
She's a survivor of, what was it?
Kidney disease,
yes, right. And yes, one of her sons, mm-hmm, donated one of his kidneys.
Yes, sir.
Is that how that worked?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And you were around. You were a part of that whole story at that time.
I wouldn't say I was a part of it, but I did know about it, and I did reach out to them. They reached out to me as far as with the company.
So you're a Tallahassee native. You were born and reared here.
I wasn't born here, but I did spend the majority of my time here.
Where were you born?
I was actually born in Donaldsonville, Georgia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, this is what we do. We're finding out, you know, the prerequisite to being on the show is that you have to be a very cool person, right? Or you have to be doing something that's very cool.
Okay.
So we're not really sure if you're a cool person yet, but but we're going to keep going here and see how that rolls. But clearly what you're doing here has a lot of coolness about it. I think that appeals to me is that it is so grassroots.
Okay.
You know, that it's not coming from up on high. It's not a corporation that has descended upon us with this effort. This is really coming up among the people that you connect to, huh?
Yes,
would you agree?
Yes, sir. And our concept of letting stories inspire other people is making it better than it coming from a corporation. I like the fact that I can go out and just talk to people and tell them what I'm trying to do and get support just like that.
Yeah.
I don't have to necessarily, you know, have, you know, everything like a corporation would have to make it work. And I like the fact that everybody that does hear about it, it affects their day, and then they positively, like, They support the movement.
They get involved.
Yes, they get involved in our community projects. They get involved in our brand, some of the different events we have. People just come out and support.
Hmm. And again, when did you start this?
I started this in 2012, December 31st, 2012.
A couple of years ago.
It was two, but I actually created the whole thing in 2009. That's when I started. So I've been working on it
for a while.
Yeah. Yes.
And you grew up here. What do you find about Tallahassee, I guess, that is so supportive of this effort? How is it that somebody like yourself, who has a simple idea, is able to make this happen, do you think?
I really would like to say that it's my support system here locally in Tallahassee. I did go to school here at Florida State University School, and, you know, I play sports and I was in the community. So like when my mom passed, it was in the front page of the Democrat. So I got a lot of exposure for that. And when I signed my football scholarship as well to the University of West Georgia, I had some exposure for that. So within the community, I know a lot of people support me and what I've been trying to do.
I get it.
You know, by me doing this, I've changed a lot, and it's done a lot of good for me.
Talking to Calvin Dennis, he is the founder of Every Heart Has a Story, LLC, a company that is all about helping you and I share the stories of our lives, especially in relation to those causes and projects and nonprofit organizations that we want to favor. The website, again, is liveblackheart.com. We're going to find out some more from this young man. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
Now we're talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back, and we are talking with Calvin Dennis, the founder of Every Heart Has a Story. Such a neat name, too. When you think of that, when you say every heart has a story, tell me about some of the stories that you've heard thus far.
Okay, just to speak on some of the stories that I've heard, what we actually do is we just go around, pop up like on a tour, for instance. We go to a gas station, we just jump out the car with our camera and just ask people the simple concept, what does every heart has a story mean to you? And even though that concept, you would think you would get some of the similar answers, people answer in completely different ways just from that concept there. And it's not that we're getting answers from, you know, one particular gender or race. We get answers from everybody. And no matter who we ask this question to, they answer. And it really opens up a light in their head as far as to answer that question.
When they answer the question, what are some of the things they tell you?
I've heard stories of, man, people dealing with, you know, domestic violence, people dealing with, you know, people they know that have been, you know, raped and some real serious issues, but people open up to it because they understand that these stories will inspire other people that could be going through the same situation. So by us gathering their stories, we're using these stories to inspire other people that could be going through the same thing.
Folks, are you getting this? This is a young man who decided that the best way to help us all share our story is to know other people who have stories. And here he has this website, Live Black Heart, a place where we can go and do that. And whatever that story is, becomes part of this ongoing conversation, including his own personal life in having lost his mom to pancreatic cancer. And some of the folks in our own community that he's referred to, people like Rita Brown, whose son gave up a kidney so that she could live. And then he's got these neat little heart cards. And heart cards are heart-shaped cards that are used in Project Hope's Little Hearts to Big Hearts project, which is, again, a function of this whole organization. And what happens is you take one of the heart cards, and yes, it's a piece of construction paper cut out to look like a heart, you know, heart shape, and you write a positive message on the card that is then offered in support of a given area, whether it's supporting the fight against breast cancer or heart disease or whatever is near and dear to your heart. Calvin, that's a pretty clever idea. I like it. And then he's got a fundraiser coming up. See, not only is he getting us connected better along these lines of telling a story. Then he's got this, what he calls the Live Black Heart Color Walk. Tell us about that.
The Color Walk will bring together 10 different causes to which we will have 10 different teams for 10 different nonprofits, such as Pancreatic Cancer Action Network, Big Ben Cares, Boys and Girls Club, Lupus Foundation of America. And what we'll do is we'll attach to organizations at Florida State University, Florida A&M, and they will fundraise for these individual teams.
That's very cool. So this reminds me of an effort that Jacksonville has engaged for a number of years. They do something that brings a lot of nonprofit organizations out all at one time for a period of 2 or 3 days. It's a kind of festival environment. They have a lot of music and so forth. And here's an event that is not dissimilar in that it has at the same foundation this desire to support multiple causes simultaneously, right? Yes. And you can do all of it, or you can pick out the one you want to favor, or what? How does that work?
Yes, we do have the option that we allow people to create teams. So if we don't have a cause directly that you're looking to be a part of, you can actually make your own team. But if not, cool. You can actually pick a team.
I see. And this happens on October the 18th. It's from 10:30 in the morning until 3:30 in the afternoon. And it's on at 3000 Schoolhouse Road, which is basically on campus there, Florida State.
Yes, it's at
campus.
The track. And there,
at the track there, yeah. Your story can make a difference, and you can support a cause just by being a part of this LBH, Live Black Heart Color Walk. Where did the whole Live Black Heart idea come from?
It originally came from actually my dorm room freshman year. It was at the time where I just came back from the accident, and I just had a lot going on. So what I created was, it started out with Black Heart. But then after, you know, seeing what Armstrong did with Live Strong, which was, you know, another movement that, you know, put emphasis on, you know, coming together, I understood that the word live, by putting that in with Black Heart, kind of gave me the concept of every heart has a story.
And in that context, the whole idea of Black Heart, did that refer to African-American thinking?
It wasn't African-American at all. It was more so of the concept that live Black Heart, like live through your struggle.
Yes. Well, that's a very important point, because I can see whereby people might assume, this is a part of the Black community, or because you're African-American, this is sort of exclusive to your thinking or to the African-American community. But in fact, it's not that at all. You're saying that this Black Heart can live again, so to speak, huh?
Yes, live through your struggles, live through your triumphs, live through it all.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, folks, see, even an old duffer like me can finally figure this out. What a great idea. And it occurs to me too, Calvin, that in our community, while we continue to see so many sort of artificial barriers, whether those are gender-related or age-related or racially related, ethnically related, we remain a people that oftentimes don't come together socially, right? Mm-hmm. But it seems like with this effort, who cannot identify with what you're doing? It has nothing to do with race or gender or ethnicity. It has to do with having a heart.
Yes, and yeah. I agree. Yeah. Just to touch on that point, that's why when we get out and we go spread our movement, I mean, we can go to a gas station and meet older people, younger people, white, green, blue, red. Uh-huh. But when we come to you and explain to you what Every Heart Has a Story means, you know, you become a supporter. It doesn't matter about race, gender, none of that matters. Because it's all the same concept that everybody's story has the ability to inspire, and we need to come together. And that's the basis of it.
Wow. Folks, if that doesn't remind you of why we are so fortunate to have people like Calvin Dennis around, then I don't know what else to do for you. But this is how we like to play the game. We bring to you the people in this community who are making it better for all of us. And certainly this organization is part of that effort. Every Heart Has a Story, LLC is the company. The website is liveblackheart.com. Calvin Dennis, our guest this morning. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure, and we want to keep track of this. Remember now, the event is coming up October 18th at Florida State University there at their track over there, and that goes on from 10:30 in the morning till 3:30. You can be a part of this. Your story can make a difference, and that's what we are telling you here right now, because Tallahassee Talks is all about your story. It's all about Tallahassee's story, and we're glad you're a part of it. Stay with me. ABC News is coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll be back with more. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
July 9, 1755, near Fort Duquesne, now the city of Pittsburgh, a 23-year-old British officer leads his troops in battle during the French and Indian War. Though fired upon repeatedly, this young lieutenant colonel remains unharmed to the disbelief of the native warriors. 15 years later, a respected Indian chief sat over a council fire with this same man. As he told all those listening, the Great Spirit protects this man and guides his destiny. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. The man was George Washington, who went on to become the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army and the first president of the United States. This inspiring message of freedom, brought to you by Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, providing comprehensive dental care. Call 875-3908.
So here we are back in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Tim Center standing by. Our guest in this hour talking about Capital Area Community Action Agency. See, if I say that like 10 times, I'll get that down. We have been fortunate in having such a lineup of guests like Calvin Davis. If you didn't get to hear this young man in the first hour of the show, I encourage you. This is always the case, you know, that we archive all of the shows that we bring you. And even at the conclusion of today's broadcast, you'll be able to go to our website. And you can listen to the entire show. You want to hear what Calvin Davis is doing if you didn't get to. What a remarkable young man. And what a very cool idea. You know, and that's the prerequisite around here. If you're a cool person like Tim Center, I mean, come on, man. The guy, you know, he's GQ material here, you know. And so he's just a cool guy. But he's also doing some very cool work. And like Calvin Davis has at the, I guess you'd say, at the foundation of his concern, the core of his effort, I breed a genuine concern for other people. I mean, I just don't. I suppose you can fake that for a while, but that gets really wearisome. You know, and it's like the guy who said it's just easier to tell the truth because I can't remember the lie that I told you, so it's just easier to tell you what's true in my life. Or one of my other mentors said, you know, when you can fake sincerity, you've got it made. Well, you know, it ain't easy, especially when you're carrying the kinds of concerns that a guy like Tim Center does in regard to the efforts that this agency is putting forth. They target those individuals and families that are historically, characteristically underemployed, disadvantaged, even unemployable, with relief efforts, with an organizational focus on not just a handout and kind of putting out the fire, solving an immediate problem, but then helping them see the horizon and equipping them, providing them the skills they need to do a bit of lifting up and moving forward and finding that, gosh, now they're not just looking to pay the light bill. They're making career choices. They come through this particular program that Tim will tell us about, and they get to that point where they're looking forward and saying, I can do more. I can do something different with my life. We had Aretha Jones on recently, the director for the neighborhood health centers. There's a great example of somebody who did that for herself and is now helping other people do the same thing, doing so within the business of medical services. But as we've learned from her, there's a whole lot more than just injections and pills in that work. They get involved in people's lives in helping them find focus, helping them find the direction they need. Why? So that life at the end of it all is worth living. You know, what are we working so hard for? You know, there's got to be something more than just consumption at the end of the day. There has to be something that is self-fulfilling, self-rewarding, I would think, for all of us. So that whether it's in the lives of the people we've invested, our children, our friends, our neighbors, fellow workers, the community at large, whatever we're putting ourselves out there in the game, we step back and go, boy, that was worthwhile. And I know so many of you do that. I mean, this town is famous for, my goodness, all the fundraisers and charitable works that are going on. And by the way, on that note, let me bring to your attention something that's happening for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And we're involved in this. As a sponsor, we're actually a part of the contribution. They're doing a silent auction. And so several of our clients and our organization has committed to providing some products and services that they will be offering up in this silent auction. Well, it's all called Aim for a Cure. Happens on Saturday, September 27th. That's a week from today. It's at the Honey Lake Sporting Clay Course over there at Honey Lake Plantation near Greenville. And it's titled the inaugural, so that would be the first, right? The inaugural Mickey Andrews and Cystic Fibrosis Foundation Aim for a Cure. Happens again Saturday, September 27th. You can go online and learn all about this great effort. And the website is nfl.cff.org. Okay, so nfl.cff.org. And you'll find out all about this Aim for a Cure fundraiser, the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and their work to help target efforts towards the elimination of cystic fibrosis and supporting those who are afflicted with such. And anyway, that's a little heads up on that activity. Likewise, I would point to some of the works that we're involved in. Particularly, have you paid attention to this? The Prepared publication that we have available to you. It's a website, and we are now preparing a digital magazine that will be available to you online. The website itself is available to you, so it's TallahasseePrepared.com. And there you can learn all about making sure your home and your business is well prepared for dealing with severe weather that happens throughout the year, not just hurricane season, but cold and severe heat, high winds, sudden storms, flooding, those sorts of things that happen all year long in our community. Well, here you can go and learn about how to prepare your house for severe heat with window film. One of our sponsors there, Truck and Car Concepts, they are expert at applying window film to your car or truck, but also to your house or your office. And they're expert because not only are they very careful and skilled at applying it, they can advise you as to which product is going to work best for you in that given situation. So there's an example, TallahasseePrepared.com. The title sponsor are good friends over there at Guardian Home Inspections and Repairs, Home Inspection and Repairs. Guardian, our title sponsor for this year's Prepared campaign. So be sure to check that out. What else can I tell you? Oh, I wanted to mention a couple of our sponsors because I've not done this and I really should more frequently because they're great people. Annette McGuffey and her team at A Country Rose Florist, one of our sponsors. You can find them online at acountryroseflorist.com. Been doing business with this woman for, oh man, 30 years or better. She's amazing, and her crew, they turn out some of the most beautiful floral arrangements. That in and of itself is worth the price of admission. But let me tell you, when you're doing business with these folks, The detail, the follow-up, the care and attention that they give every one of their customers, it's remarkable. Remember that, acountryroseflorist.com. And likewise, I would mention our good friend Miriam Dady at Send Out Cards. If you're not doing Send Out Cards, what are you doing? I don't have the time to run to the post office and buy stamps, and I got to pick out a card and all that jazz. Send Out Cards is all there for you online, and Miriam Dady is the one who we look to for that kind of help. Send Out Cards is our go-to for thank you cards and congratulations and sentiments and sympathy cards. All that happens because Miriam Dady and Send Out Cards is there for us. Folks, stay with me through the break. We've got Tim Center coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow too by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at vanguardnorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We have Tim Center here this morning, the executive director for Capital Area Community Agency in Tallahassee. How are you, Mr. Center?
I'm well. It's Capital Area Community Action Agency.
Oh, Action Agency. I left out the action.
How can you leave out the action?
You can't leave out the action.
That's what makes me a superhero.
We got to have action. Well, and with that, we'll talk about some of the action that this here agency does with all of the various programs and the people they serve. Now, we've talked at length before. Tim's been on the show, of course, and one of our faves, and he has done a good job, I think, in helping us get a grasp of some of that. And I remember particularly when you arrived on the scene, the first question, or one of the first questions, was what sort of research-based, outcome-based programs do we have in place?
Right.
And the question, or the answer was, not much.
50 years of fighting poverty and the Great Society effort, and we really don't have a lot to show for it in terms of proven programs by themselves.
Yeah.
There's been some great successes, but it's just nothing out there. And when we found one of them that has worked really well.
And you have, and in that way, you've been able to directly tap into the lives of people who otherwise find themselves disenfranchised and sort of not knowing what to do.
That's right. That's right. You know, our getting ahead in a just getting by world, not our program, but it's a program that we've brought into the community. And now we've gone through three waves of the class. It's about 3 months long, 2 hours each week, with a group of folks who sit around a table working through a workbook together, having conversations, not a lecture process.
Right.
And the difference is night and day from the beginning of the program to the end of the program with these folks who sit there at the beginning of the day and of the program. Will say, if you were to ask them, you know, what do you need? Mm-hmm. They might say, I need a job. And that's about all they can, because they're dealing with the tyranny of the moment. They are being beaten down by crisis after crisis in their lives, and they cannot see for the life of them the horizon, because they're just dealing with everything they're dealing with. And at the end of this entire thing, we will have asked that same question, what do you need? And they will tell you, my family, we would love to be in a single family home or a safe apartment. And this side of town, I'd like to have a career that involves sales, because I really like working with people, or I'd like to be a teacher, or I would like, it's not about a job, it's about a career now. And they have a totally different perspective. The crises are still there in their life, but they have now begun to understand how to cope and how to deal with these issues. And then we're going to be in a position then to help them realize their future story. And I'll give you a quick example. The research basis is out there. It's been implemented in hundreds of communities around the country. But we had a program for several years that was very effective with homeless families, where the shelter, if a family showed up at the shelter, they separate men from the women. They separate kids from their parents sometimes. And what we were very effective at was this issue of we will find a home for the homeless family, keeping them intact.
Wow.
Now, the value proposition was that we won't only do that. We will actually get them into our self-sufficiency program so that this will be prevented in the future. This won't happen again to them.
Yeah.
The reality was we would solve 100% of their problems regarding the housing. But literally only 3% of them we could get enrolled in the self-sufficiency program to help prevent this. Because once the crisis is taken over and taken care of, they're now moving on to deal with the next crisis. We had the first two classes of our Getting Ahead program, and we had 65% of those people coming out of Getting Ahead moving into our self-sufficiency program, 3% to 65%. And that's because now they're mentally prepared for what the steps would be necessary for them to make that transformation. And that number would have been higher, but we had about 12% of those folks who actually got jobs while they were in the Getting Ahead program, making them income ineligible for the program, which is exactly what we're trying to do to begin with. And so 75% success rate, going from 3% to 75% success rate. And it's phenomenal. I mean, we were just looking at our numbers in Jefferson County, for example. Mm-hmm. First class, we had three people from Jefferson County in that class. Those three people now have never come back to us for services. They are income ineligible. They've got jobs. They've got a career. They're moving forward. The next class, we had six people out of Jefferson County in that class. Six of those people are independent on their own, that's not coming back. Cool. In fact, two of them come back every now and then to drop in to say, how are you doing?
Wow.
As opposed to
what can you do for me?
Yeah. And we just had graduations in Wakulla County and Jefferson County and Leon County and Calhoun and Liberty County and Gadsden County as well.
Yeah.
And we are hoping that we have we've done a good job of preparing them for what's going to take would be necessary for those next steps.
Yeah.
And we're doing open enrollment right now because we will be kicking off our new program. The next wave of classes will start actually in the second week of October.
Awesome.
And so it's exciting.
What do you think when you hear people say the government has no business trying to support individuals that are just it's endemic. You know, they'll never, ever get off of the payroll, the public payroll.
I just came back, Brian, from a conference in Washington, D.C., where the purpose of the conference was to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Great Society's War on Poverty, the creation of the Department of Economic Opportunity at the time that was headed up by Sergeant Shriver under the Johnson administration. Yeah. And they showed a documentary that had been filmed in 1967 that had a then must have been a maybe a 25 or 26 year old Billy Graham, who was working in the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina area the Appalachians go in that direction, but it truly having a conversation with Sergeant Shriver with these exact same questions in 1967. You know, what about the people that just keep coming back? What about the folks who won't apply themselves? What about the – and those issues have been with us this entire time.
Yeah.
And it just looks more and more challenging if you think we constantly are going to face with it. But the reality is that there are great programs that government can provide that can help a person develop.
Yeah.
And just public education is probably the easiest one to identify. And so for other folks, there might be a little bit of extra effort that's necessary. And if the program is designed so that the person can develop themselves, you know, it's not giving the person the fish, it's teaching the person to fish.
Yeah.
If we can get to that stage, I think you find a lot of support for that.
Yeah.
From the resource community and the unresourced community, because that's the American dream, right? Our own personal efforts and hard work and a little bit of help from friends.
We're talking with Tim Center here, the executive director for the Capital Area Community Action Agency in Tallahassee. Did I do that right?
Yep.
Okay. And we're going to continue this conversation. Stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. What's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray illumination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. It comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tin it. Truck and Car Concepts, 656-8800. Give us a call.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Tim Center here, the executive director for Capital Area Community Action Agency. A mouthful and a very interesting acronym, but the point is, this is a bureau or an agency that grew out of the whole efforts made back in the mid-60s, the Great Society, the War on Poverty, the Johnson administration, and here we are some, I don't know, 50 or better years later, trying to implement that. You got involved as the director and said, okay, well, how do we intervene in a very practical, very specific way? And let's produce some outcome here that we can step back and go, is this really working? Well, gosh, it has. It is working. And when I think of that, you know, it reminds me, and you may know this young lady, Aretha Jones. She is the director of the community, or I guess it's called the Neighborhood Health Centers. There are 7 clinics, okay, 4 in Leon County, 3 in Gadsden County, Havana particularly. Get this. Aretha Jones grew up in Havana picking peas for her grandmother, who lived in a very impoverished situation, not unlike most of her friends and neighbors, who went to school saying to her grandmother, how come all the other kids have all these things and I don't? How come all of our friends and neighbors live in little tiny shacks with dirt floors?
Yeah.
This was her world. So when she's in high school, she resolves, I'm going to do something with myself. Her then boyfriend, soon to be fiance, they get married. He joins the Air Force. They travel the world. And when it comes time for them to settle and raise a family, they both decide to come back to their home in Gadsden County. Puts herself through school, gets her master's in nursing, and now she's the executive director. And her mission is to build these facilities and provide these services aimed at homeless and impoverished people.
Phenomenal. That's
it is incredible. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Our own Mother Teresa at this point.
Absolutely right. Gwen Robinson, who's the director for Gadsden Arts Center over there in Quincy. Mm-hmm. We talked about, how do you liberate people from the slave mentality? You know, we talk about slavery in its history. 150 years ago, Leon County, 75% of the population was enslaved.
Mm. Wow.
51% of Gaston County was enslaved.
Wow.
That's not a long time ago.
Right.
What's insidious is the mindset.
Yeah.
So when I hear you talk about this particular program, and it's just one program, you've targeted, you've zeroed in on that slavery of the mind that says, Brian, you can do differently. Mm-hmm. You don't have to live this way, and we'll help you get there.
Yeah, you know, helping people understand a different paradigm is possible is perhaps one of the greatest things you can do for a person. And my wife and I, when our daughter was 3 years old, we asked her what she wanted for Christmas. And she said, literally, in her entire worldview as a three-year-old child, she looked at the pondered as she looked at the ceiling for a moment and said, "A brand new pencil," with a big smile on her face. And we looked at each other like, "Oh my gosh, you know, are we depriving our child of resources?" And you know, that's what she wanted, and so she got plenty of them for that Christmas. But when she was 4 years old, we asked her the same question, and she said, "I would like an iPod Touch." and her worldview, her perspective in life had changed, and we exposed her to a lot. Huh. And to enable her to understand there could be more.
Her expectations.
Right, yeah. Could be broadened. Now, for many of folks, that's they only know so much, right? And they've only seen so much, and they understand that's how life works. And so, therefore, they don't think about what the difference is. And going back to that tyranny of the moment, they can't see the horizon for the waves that keep pushing them and pounding them back onto the surf and onto the sand, because they can't get above it all. So that issue of you know, for her to have that self-awareness, which is really what we're helping. We're creating self-awareness. We're empowering people to understand this is their life. These are their decisions. Letting them understand they can take personal responsibility for what's going on. And also at the same time explaining to them, you know, society's got some weird rules out there in a variety of different things, socioeconomic class and clubs and organizations and middle class values versus poverty values. And here's how life kind of works a little bit more, things that we kind of take for granted. But somebody had to teach us which spoon and fork to use at the fancy restaurant, you know, and when you begin to learn these things, and it doesn't, or this getting ahead is not about etiquette, but just as an analogy there.
Right.
But the idea is, you know, giving people the resources to understand what's going on enables them to, a year later, or in this case, you know, 16 weeks later, say, you know, I'd like a career. I'd like a job. I'd like an iPod Touch.
Yeah, and I find that interesting, too, in as much as you've said this, a big part of what you do is to help folks better understand, and maybe for the first time, embrace the rules that govern, we'll call it white-collar work versus blue collar work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I go out, I dig a ditch. You told me to dig the ditch. I did it. And now you want me to dig it again. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
But in let's call it maybe in a professional setting, in an office setting, in a business setting where I've been asked to write a memo or some sort of document I needed to compose, it's subject to review and editing. So then for that individual who's not used to that sort of scrutiny, they have to realize that's just part of how it works.
This is how life is. And they don't want to be disrespected or felt like they're being disrespected, because it's to them, it's the only thing they've got going for them. And so if you take the time to go through that and explain to them why certain typos can't be permitted to leave the office on a thing, and they begin to understand, they begin to be very respected.
Yeah.
They get to buy in. They get to feel like they're part of the organization. And all of a sudden, you've got probably a win-win situation.
You know, in our business, we find it remarkable that the interns who work with us, granted, they are students, but one of the biggest challenges we find is in helping them create and compose and assemble. And in a marketing agency like ours, that's what we do, right?
Yeah.
And they find it a bit, uncomfortable. And I suppose none of us really like it, but I noticed that if we evaluate the work they've turned out and we ask for another revision, and it may be three or four revisions, they don't like it. They want to be able to turn something out and say, "Hey, I did it. What's the problem?"
Right.
And move on.
Right. And it's one of my favorite lines, of course, is I would have written, I would have been more brief if I had had more time.
Exactly. Right.
One of my favorite on that, and I don't know if you've ever heard the story, but Kissinger was evidently an amazing editor. And he had, there was a young analyst who wrote a paper for him and gave it to him to review. He gets it back the next day from Kissinger with just the simple note across it: "Is this the best you can do?" And the guy looks back, re-edits it, reworks it, brings it back to him. Next day, gets it back from Kissinger: "Is this the best you can do?" And then finally hand delivers it to Kissinger, and Kissinger just looks at it and goes, is this the best you can do? And the guy says, yeah. He goes, good, I'll read it now. So that opportunity to you can appreciate that a lot of folks, you know, that initial effort is probably not exactly always the best part.
Well, we're having fun here. We're talking with Tim Center. He's the executive director for Capital Area Community Action Agency. This is an organization devoted to lifting us up, lifting up people, helping them acquire a better place in the economic world as well as among us in this community. And we are back and talking about Capital Area Community Action Agency, and Tim Center has joined us, their executive director. How long have you been with this organization now?
I was just thinking about it the other day. It's coming up on basically 2.5 years. Yeah. And I started formally as the executive director on June 1 of 2012.
Yeah.
And it's been I came in at about the same time that Mark Baldino came in at Elder Care.
Yeah.
Mark's doing tremendous work over there. And I am trying to just hold on to his.
Trying to be like Mark when you grow up.
Yeah,
I understand.
You know,
I have several people like that in my life.
He's so impressive. And there's so much good work being done by so many different agencies. You know, the amazing thing is that for the first year or so, we really tried to, in this agency, with my team, who are phenomenal people who care so much about the population that we're working with, trying to make sure we're delivering a good product, right? For the customer, which is the federal government that technically funds us. That's our customer, because your customer is who pays you.
Yeah.
We are trying very hard to deliver a very good product to that customer. And our product is are the folks that we work with.
Yeah.
The reality is that after we got those programs and we get those systems aligned properly, it's at that time that we do these kind of conversations where we go out and we start talking to people. So just yesterday with the Bradfordville Kiwanis Club, I'm sitting with a group of folks from different walks of life, all middle class, if not better. And we were having a conversation about poverty, people that couldn't probably afford to be in that restaurant, people that might do certain services for the people in that room. But it's a topic that we don't talk about.
Yeah.
And that's really where we need to be now. We now need to be.
Why don't we talk about it?
One, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to talk about them. How do we help them? And also because the issues have become so politicized that the only way that we talk about how do you help them is by destroying us. How do you help the resourced without destroying how do you help the unresourced without destroying the resourced?
We're talking about redistribution.
Well, I think that's what we automatically think is going to be the case.
Yeah.
And, even Paul Ryan, who has a new book out that talks specifically about welfare reform and what's the right way of doing this? He admits that at the beginning, he used to talk about makers and takers.
Yeah.
And somebody came up and said, who's a taker? Is that a veteran who comes back and gets benefits? Is it the senior who's paid into Social Security who wants to get that? Is it the person who needs to get disability? Mm-hmm. And the reality is he had it all wrong. He realized that. And so I think we have these conversations more than I think we're better able to understand how we can help. I do want to say one other really big thing and why I think the conversation becomes so critical. If 22% of our population is living in poverty, 19,000 for a family of three, that's that's a quarter of your population. All right, well, I can probably live with that.
Yeah.
There is, however, a different group that's right above that line, and that group is called, we would probably call them the working poor. Even the people in poverty, 60% of them have had a job at some point in the past year. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to figure out how to get by. But there's another group of the working poor. A lot of us are probably in that. That's the person who is living paycheck to paycheck. It's the person who is asset limited, AL, income constrained. So their job is not paying very much. Employed,
mm-hmm.
or ALICE is the acronym for this population.
Mm-hmm.
When you take and you add that population to that 22% of our population living in poverty, you're going to be up to about 45% total of the population.
Nearly half.
Nearly half. And when that immediately puts us in, we're a 50-50 country at this point in dealing with the issues of the haves and the have-nots. And therefore, the haves the conversation, worried about that. How do you help them without destroying the haves? Mm. The conversation becomes, why is this now important to me? Well, it's because these are your neighbors. We are only as strong as the weakest amongst us. And if we want to have a really healthy economy, if we want to have more clients for your marketing firm, if we want to have more customers in the bank, if we want to have people that can afford to go into a restaurant and have a sandwich, mm-hmm. it's in our best interest to get these people mm-hmm. into the economy and let them become contributing members of society.
It seems to me, too, that the work you're doing isn't crisis-oriented. You know, we have had those periods in our history, the Great Depression, even in our time, the Great Recession, I suppose it's been dubbed, in which government steps up in a manner that is intervening, is very directed and very focused on putting out the fire, right?
You're stemming the tide. You're the finger in the dike.
But that's not your role here. It seems to me this is an ongoing effort that is really about reshaping and opening up past those crisis moments, we'll call it culturally or economically at large, and then targeting specifically within this ALICE group, the working poor, and saying, how do you better yourself? How do you move into a place where those things that you can't do because you're so strapped are now better available to you, huh?
Yeah, I wish that was the case, Brian. I wish we were really only known for that, the back end thing of helping lift people out. The reality is that with $9 million of operational funding covering Jefferson County all the way over to Gulf County, we're serving 13 to 14,000 people annually with that crisis moment. That moment where they can't pay their light bill, and they're going to come in and we're going to cover that expense for them. And that's great. We're able to help in that crisis, but it's in
but
that
it keeps you bound to that as well.
Well, it's in that moment of crisis that hopefully if we can stabilize them enough, we are then permitted to then talk to them about getting ahead. Mm-hmm. And are you interested in this? The greatest thing is right now, Brian, we put the Getting Ahead workbook on our desks. Our staff desks. So people are sitting there, and while they're sitting there, we've had clients who just pick the book up and they go, what is this? Tell me about this. They'll flip through and we kind of explain it to them. They go, I'm interested in this. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big, a bailout program where we're paying people and everything like that, and mm-hmm. we're offering to pay their rent and all this mm-hmm. stuff to be in the Getting Ahead program. It's like, here, this is what this program does for you.
There is a promise there.
What you get out of this. And people, it's nice to see. It's not for everybody in crisis, right? Mm-hmm. Some people in crisis can't ever get out of crisis. They can't even understand and fathom what that would be.
But I really wanted to get at some of your perspective, too, on where we are going nationally, and we've been beset with the tragedies going on in places like Ferguson, and thinking about some of the racial tensions that seem to continue to plague us. What's your take on that?
We're even in our own community right now, there have been tremendous conversations about the issue of gun violence in Tallahassee. There's conversations, I'm sure, either directly stated or indirectly implying that race is perhaps an issue, much like Ferguson became an issue of race, it seems like, and that's really what flared up. And again, these are very difficult conversations to have. And we are hoping that I know from my perspective is I hope that our leaders, both civic and elected, will choose to hopefully engage the community in a meaningful manner that permits us to avoid what happened in Ferguson in terms mm-hmm. of the riots and things mm-hmm. in a constructive way. They have an entire effort right now looking at the issues of gun violence and the violent ratio of mm-hmm. what we have right now in Tallahassee, second only to Miami, evidently, according to some statistics. And I'm glad to see that there are people in the faith community and civic leaders mm-hmm. and elected officials and you that you're inclined to begin participating and talking.
A very helpful conversation. Tim Center, the Executive Director for Capital Area Community Action Agency, our guest this morning. Thank you, Mr. Center, for being with us.
Brian, enjoyed it. Thank you.
And thank you all for being a part of this conversation, as you are every week right here, 93.3 FM, or listening across the globe, streaming live to the web. We're glad that you make it a part of your morning. It's what we do, talking about all the things that make Tallahassee such a very cool very enjoyable place to live. We want you to stay tuned with us through all of the weeks ahead and invite you to come back again next Saturday morning. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk with me.
Go with the pros at SS Performance Group. Today's engines demand the highest precision from highly skilled technicians able to get the most from your car and keep it in top performance. That's SS Performance Group, foreign and domestic. SS Performance Group is legendary among car owners who demand more.
I'm Ernest Sims. I know about going pro. For your car's best performance, go with the pros at SS Performance Group.
In their new location, 431 Capitol Circle Southwest, call 575-0259. Online at SS Performance Group LLC. .com